If we could be in an attitude of prayer. O God, whose word is like water to the root of the tree, let your word now flow into us that we might flourish, bearing gospel fruit for a hungry world. In the name of Jesus, the living word, we pray. Amen. Today's reading comes from Jonah 1:17 through 2:10. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." The word of God for the people of God.
Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ears to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from me, from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do your spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. I bore your terrors and I'm in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood, and they have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me your friend, my friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. This week, a lot of us have been reflecting on our time in Israel. It's about this time that we went. We were there. So we've seen all these memories coming up. But once, you know, I've seen them, I can remember being in St. Peter's, the Church of St. Peter's. You know, the courtyard is where, is a symbol of where Peter denied Jesus. But when you go into the church, the inner church, you get to go down some winding stairs. As you go deeper down into the dungeon, it gets darker and darker. And when you get to the very end of the pit, there is just a lone pulpit with a light shining, with a Bible open up to Psalms 88 that I just read. It so happens that each time I made the trip three times, and I think two out of the three times, you know, we always assign somebody to read this scripture, and for whatever reason, the person assigned couldn't read it, or they didn't get to read it. And I remember the first time I heard from the top of the stairways, a voice coming down from Dr. Tuller, "Debbie, are you down there? Read the scripture." The second time we went, the last trip we went on, I know I heard it. Phyllis and I were reflecting it. She remembered, she said, "I was still at the top, but I heard your voice coming up through the stairways." For some reason, the Lord had me read these words. But the part that always sit with me at the very end, in some of the translation, it says, "The darkness was the only company we have." When you reflect on that, if you listen to this and listen to the reading of Jonah 2, you can see the parallelism through it. They both were in a tent, a pit, so to speak. Both of these people were crying out to God from the darkest place in their lives. "Come, rescue me." This is said to be where Jesus must have been in the days after he was with Cyprus, because the church of St. Peter was built in where Cyprus' home was. So it is believed that, because when you read the scriptures, they had brought before Cyprus, and then they beat him and they mock him, and then they put him in overnight, then he goes to Pilate. So we believe this is where he was, in this pit. And this psalmist was echoing what Jesus was going through in that same time. It brings us back to Jonah, when Jonah is in the pit of the belly of the whale, this big fish, crying out to God. Because when he's crying, anything in the prayer, but the prayer that he's having, we can say that this is the psalm of Jonah also, because it has all the echoings of a psalm. He's there reflecting on his journey from when they threw him out of when he was thrown. God created that to happen. The men who threw him out were just agents of God. Threw him out, and he's reflecting on the journey going down to the bottom of the ocean. And he's reflecting, and he's saying that the weed was coming around his neck. He's almost ready to choke him. He's near death. He's in this place where there's no return. He's so sure that he's going to die. And in the end, we see that, and when it gets to the bottom, it's at the foundation of the mountain, the roots of the mountain, implying that he gets to the very end, the bottom of the sea, and there comes the rescue of the big fish. But let's talk about that fish a little bit. When the fish was first mentioned in here, when he in 17 was outside of the belly of the fish, you look at the Hebrew translation of it, it's a feminine representation of that, a masculine outside the fish. But once you got in, when you mention the fish again, it's a feminine feminine term of that word, fish. When you think of the feminine term now, you think now of the prophet, you can say this prophet now was being impregnated in the womb of this fish. And when you're impregnated in the womb of the fish, when you're pregnant in the fish, so now we can use the belly of the fish now as a womb that where gestation is about to happen, some growth that needs to happen in the belly. But he's thinking, okay, he's recalling everything that was happening to him in his prayer, this psalm that he's praying, while he's being, need to do some soul searching right in the belly. Sometimes God has to take us in some dark places, remove us from what we know normally, and take us in some places, take us back into the womb of ourselves so we can just reflect on who he is, reflect and remind us who he is in our lives. This is where you could call it spiritual formation. Jonah was going through a spiritual formation. And when the spiritual formation is happening, he knows he's not coming out back the same. Because you and I, when we go into that place, and we go into that dark, dark place and cry out to God, there's no way you're coming back the same. There's some rebirth happening. But I don't know if you know that place. I don't know if you know how to go down. You're in the depths of your situation. And the only thing to do is to go down. You can't go no further. So the only left thing is to go come up. But I don't want you to come up so quickly. Because some pruning needs to happen. Some rebirthing needs to happen. Some things out of your life needs to be cast away into the depths of the sea. You know what I'm talking about? You can't come up too quickly. Put the other slide. They don't need to see this. They're going to have to get the other slide. You have to stay there in the depths of the pit. The same one that the Psalms 88 is talking about. The same one Jonah is talking about. The same one that Jesus went through. We talked about it last week. Because just before that, he was in that place. And he said, take this cup away from me. Take this suffering away from me, if it's thy will. But we don't want to sit in the Garden of Gethsemane, do we? We don't want to sit in the depths of the belly of the pit. We want to come up right away. But God needs you down there sometimes. You know why? Can you remember to surrender to him when you have nothing else but the will of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God to pull you up? That's the rescue. This story is a rebirth story. It's one of the greatest rebirth story in the scripture, if you really think about it. Put yourself in the womb of the fish. But we don't want to go there. Because you never experienced watching your children strung out, your child strung out on drugs, that you feel so hopeless. You don't know about when you have no electricity in your house because you haven't had a job in a few months and it was turned off. You don't know about seeing your beloved in a box on the street, living in the street. Don't know how to come home. You don't know that. You don't know what it feels like to be in the belly of the fish, where you don't know how to see and be locked up and beaten and chained and put in a dungeon. You don't know that, but Silas and Peter knows that. You don't know what it's like to be in that place, the place that seems like no return. No, you have lost hope for the situation in your life. You don't see the light. You don't see your way out. But he stayed. Jonah had some 3 days to reflect on this. And you know the funny thing about it was? The reason he got there, he caused it upon himself. Sometimes our disobedience is what keeps us into that pit, into the pit. We have to face ourselves. We have to face and look in the mirror and have an honest look at ourselves and say, who is that? Who will God see when he looks in the mirror? I pray God see what you see. But it gives us the opportunity all the time to sit there and to think about it and be reborn from who you were. I mean, the wrath of God was up, and he said the breakers was over in the storm. He's talking about that. And it's the storm was God's wrath was coming after him. But we don't want to talk about God's wrath, because then we have to go face our sins. We want happy, jolly God all the time. But our disobedience is a sin. I said that last week. Don't forget that. It's still a sin. We have to work on it. By the grace of God, we can be pulled out of it. Amen? By the grace of God, we're constantly coming up. Because God doesn't know how to let you be in your own self. He loves you too much. Too much. He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. We talk about, you know, God's constantly tracking us down in our runaway path from obedience. And then he confronts us with what we are doing. So as we pray, we become aware of our hopelessness and changing either ourselves or the situation. In other words, we come to a place of repentance. This prayer of Jonah is a prayer, it's a psalm of deliverance and thanksgiving. Because when you get in that place, that's what Jonah did. They start to turn, the prayer started to turn into a point of giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the turmoil. My grandmother used to pray, thank you for the troubles in my life. My grandmother, why are you praying for troubles in your life? Because then I can give thanks to God for taking me out of this. It makes no sense to me at the time. But somehow this week it makes sense. Because when these trials and tribulations show up, you have nowhere else to go but to call upon your Savior, who comes in the form of a fish and swallow you up. And eventually vomit you out onto the shores of righteousness. It's a resurrection moment. It is your born again moment in that space. I don't know. You know, I'm reminded of a story about a young man who went to Buddha to ask how to find God. Buddha took this man down to the river, and the young man thought the teacher was going to perform one of those rituals of cleansing rituals. But instead, Buddha immersed him, his head into the water, into a dangerously long point. While the man was just thrashing in the water, and then Buddha led him up and asked, what were you thinking about when I held your head under the water? The man, grasping for air, just grasping, said, air, air, air. When you want God as much as you wanted it here, that's when you find him. See, our conceptions of God can be different. He finds us and we search for him because he has already found us. He brings us to a place where we can submit and we have no other hope but Jesus Christ. This is the message. When we get to that point, we have no other hope but Jesus Christ. And I think this is where we need to stop. Leave you with those words. You have no other hope but Jesus Christ when you reach rock bottom. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, may you be risen up. Amen.